one of the things that we have through our access with the health forum is access to information. And I'm a long believer that without information and proper information, it's very hard to make good decisions. So I suppose where I would be, the reason that I asked this question in the way I did was, we all know that University Hospital Limerick is the busiest ED in the country. But I suppose until we put it into the context of our near neighbours, Galway Hospital, Páirc Uachtaráin, for instance, you know, they would be relatively close to us geographically. And then you look up the coast to Mayo, Donegal and Sligo. It's to understand, I suppose, where, how big the gap is. And the other point that I made very clearly at today's health forum was, we continuously hear that there is not the demand for a second ED to support the ED in UHL. Like, this has been trotted out to us for donkey's years. There's no demand. I mean, I suppose about 12 or 18 months ago, I got a figure, 12 months ago, I got figures from the UHL about a pilot that we'd asked them to run, which was, where are people from that are going to the emergency department in Limerick? And I think something like 26-27% of what was going through the door came from Clare. And if we look at 80,000 people going through University Hospital Limerick Emergency Department in 2023, and we take a rough figure of a quarter of that, that's 20-odd thousand people from Clare. And yet we can go at Páirc Uachtaráin and see this. There's 30,000 people going through the door. We're not that far away, but we're keeping told that there isn't the demand. And yet I'm looking at hospitals with 39,000, 30,000, 43,000 people attending them in the Salto region. And I really does, I cannot square the circle in my head as to how we can be told that there is no demand, or there wouldn't be the demand for the service that would keep an ED going. Again, I suppose it's a piece of the puzzle. It's a little bit of information that we can use, all of us, elected reps, the media, health campaigners, to push and keep pressure on for Model 3, another Model 3 in the region to support University Hospital Limerick.
Moving on from that then, Killian, and the fight to reopen a Model 3, of course, will continue, but it's not something that's going to happen overnight either. And then you have to look at what measures are in place immediately to address overcrowding at UHL, which is something you've queried. And a pilot programme that will be rolled out soon is to have the equivalent in the NHS, which is the GP at your front door. And this is that anybody who self-presents, I suppose, to UHL without getting a referral from a GP or an ambulance paramedic or anything else, they will be referred to a GP as soon as they get into UHL. It's a primary care centre pathway. What do you make of this? Do you think it will have the effect?
Look, I suppose I'd heard a lot of conversations out there as to how this was going to work or whether it would work. I suppose I had gone into the meeting with my own, I suppose, preconceived notions, and I will put my hand up that I thought this was crazy stuff, that, you know, we need GPs at the entry level, which is out in the communities. Why would we be bringing a GP service into the end of the pipeline where people have already gone to the emergency department? Surely the demand or the solution would be to put extra GPs out into our communities so that we prevent people getting into the emergency department in the first place. I was, you know, interested to hear from Colette Cowan today with regards to, this is something that's been rolled out in other jurisdictions. It has quite a good success rate in other jurisdictions. One of the information pieces that she gave me today was that 50% of what's going through the door in the emergency department at UHL are self-referrals. So they have come through, they basically feel the need for a medical service and have gone straight to the ED. And I completely understand now that this is going to be a way of triaging or filtering out a very significant cohort of people that are going to the emergency department that may need another service, that they don't need to go through the rest of the emergency department process. And that can only be a good thing, I suppose, in terms of reducing the pressure that's on a hugely overstretched emergency department in Limerick.
Essentially, the goal of this pilot program is to identify the patients that maybe not didn't necessarily that maybe presented at the ED unnecessarily.
And I think, Dara, that here's the thing, and these are points that I raised today with Colette, which is we really need to get an understanding of why. Why are these people self-referring? So why are patients or why are people self-referring? What is the deficit out in the community that means that people see no other alternative but to go to the emergency department in UHL? That's a really important piece of information that should come out of this. The other thing that's really important, and I did ask for, was that they would gather the data around the geographic location of people that needed to be self or that are self-referring into the emergency department. So where are they coming from? Are they from Clare? Are they all from Limerick City? You know, all of these are bits and pieces of information that can guide decisions in the future as to what types of service and what will come down the track and where they will go. You know, I also think that the other piece here is that it's really important that we know where these patients end up. So what percentage of them actually did have to go into the emergency department system? Did some have to go to the injury unit? Did some get referred to a medical assessment unit? Did some people get sent home with a prescription for whatever that was needed? So again, it's about really understanding the information that comes out of this sort of a pilot process. And I'm really looking forward to, I suppose, working again with Colette in the future and saying, right, let's get the data and see what we can make of the data and pushing for the services, the service demand that will come out of this information.
And moving on from that, then we have the information now of all the patients that attended the NS Medical Assessment Unit last year, and we have the news that 24/7 MAU services are effectively imminent. But there is quite a number more of patients presenting at the NSMAU than there are presenting at the NINA and St. John's MAU, over 3,000 more. It does show that there is quite significant patient demand for NS services. Do you think now that the 24/7 MAU will be effective in alleviating pressure at UHL as well?
Again, I think there's two things here, Dara. The first is, it comes as no surprise to me whatsoever that Ennis has almost double the demand of St. John's and nearly double the demand of NINA MAU. Geographically, we are extremely poorly served by emergency care. You know, I've done a piece of work there, and I've you know worked in there with the Friends of Ennis Hospital, and we put together a really visual document there that shows precisely how much of the county is outside of a reasonable distance time-wise from the emergency department. So it comes as no surprise to me that NSMAU is very busy. Do I think that the 24/7 MAU is going to alleviate pressure? Of course, anything, if it only takes 2% out of the system, it will be of benefit. If we have 5 or 6 or 10 things each taking 1.5% or 2% out of the system in Limerick, you know, that adds up to a lot of people, and that's where, you know, and it takes time, and I accept that, and I suppose, you know, I know from being out on the ground that there's a huge sense of frustration from people that these things are A, taking too much time, and B, I suppose people feel that they're not being properly listened to. We've been banging this drum, an awful lot of people have been banging this drum for an awful long time. And it is only now, I suppose, that we're starting to see a little bit of movement on a little few bits and pieces that will make a difference.
And Killian, just to finish then, emergency services aren't everything that the people of the Midwest need as well. Some of those are just access to consultants and scans, which can often be impeded by the overcrowding. And more information that we've got here is that just 28% of consultants at University Hospital Limerick have so far signed up to the public-only Sláinte Care contract. Are you concerned to hear that? And we have been told by Bernard Gloucester recently that it's one of the lowest uptakes of any hospital nationwide.
Look, I mean, it's not great. I suppose sometimes answers generate more questions than they give when you come along here. And you know, for me, I look at this and I go, what's the block? Why is there a blockage here? Why are we so far down the pecking order with regards to people wanting to turn to these public-only consultant contracts? I don't know the answer to that. It's a question that I have penciled in for the next health forum meeting, you know, to say, well, we need to figure out the why of that. But I suppose where I was coming from this was to ask. We repeatedly hear stories about people saying, well, if a consultant was there on a Saturday, they could have signed me out. And I suppose I was trying to get a sense of what percentage of our consultants are actually on site over the weekend. And I mean, Colette Cowan mentioned, I think there was a Friday where they discharged 130 or 40 people. And I suppose my question, which I didn't get an answer, but I will follow up with, is, well, how many did they discharge on Saturday? Because ultimately you cannot be discharged without a consultant signing off on it. So if we are seeing high numbers of people being discharged Monday to Friday and low numbers over the weekend, well, you know, when people are presenting at the ED and they can't get into the bed system, which that's why people end up in trolleys, because they can't get beds. And ultimately, if we have people who are not in place across the system to discharge people for 2 days out of seven, well, of course, there's going to be a backup. And I've no doubt that the low volume of consultants signing up to the public-only consultants' contract is having an effect on the capacity for it's having a knock-on effect down the chain. And that's, I guess, another piece of the puzzle as to why we would be seeing lots of people on trolleys, and low discharge rates has to feed into that. And maybe I'm simplifying it and someone will come along and say, no, there's other reasons. And I would accept that. But I think, again, I'll come back to my previous point. There are many, many things that feed into the system. And if we can tweak the system, even if it's a small percentage on across the range of systems, well, you know, that builds up to a pretty big number. And all of a sudden, you start to see management having control of a situation.